This is the Post Game Podcast on the Blood Red Channel, bringing you all the big match reaction with views from the press box, the dugout and the stands.
Hello everybody and welcome along to the Post Game Podcast on the Liverpool Echo's Blood Red Channel. I'm your host Patrick Smith, coming to you after Liverpool suffered a humbling 4-1 defeat at the hands of Manchester City. Now, I'm sure we were all apprehensive of the dreaded early kickoff and gap in quality that's developed between the two teams this season, but even up to half-time, none of us saw this result coming after Mohamed Salah's opener. But once again, there's plenty of frustration and disappointment to digest, so helping you to do that is the Liverpool Echo's Paul Gorst from the Etihad Press Box, Jurgen Klopp in his press conference, and the travelling Liverpool supporters.
The Post-Game Podcast on the Blood Red Channel.
Supposedly season defining week for Liverpool started in the worst possible way after a 4-1 defeat here to Manchester City at the Etihad. It had been a pretty even, absorbing first half with both teams going in with a 1-1 draw at half time. Mohamed Salah had given Liverpool the lead on a counter attack involving Diogo Jota and a wonderful pass from Trent Alexander-Arnold, but City got themselves back in the game with Julian Alvarez, and it was a really fair representation of what had been an excellent first half for both teams. Liverpool looking to sit in, keep it tight, and look to exploit the spaces in behind City's defence. City, as you would imagine, dominating possession, keeping hold of the ball, looking to create as many chances as they could through Harry and Liverpool out of possession in Liverpool's first third, if you like. But after the break, the narrative of the game, if you like, completely changed, and Liverpool completely crumbled in abject fashion, that has to be said. City made it 2-1 very early on into the second half. Riyad Mahrez crossing for Kevin De Bruyne, and then it was made 3-1 by Ilkay Gundogan after Liverpool had failed to clear the lines. Both of those goals coming inside 10 minutes of the second half, and Jack Grealish just put the gloss on the results in the final third of the game to make sure that City celebrating a pretty sizeable scalp of Liverpool. You look at the teams Liverpool have lost to of late, and of course the 6-2 aggregate defeat to Real Madrid, and another Champions League hopeful of similar quality of really putting Liverpool to the sword this afternoon. It's kind of just highlights how far Liverpool have fallen this season. Defeats, of course, on the road to the likes of Nottingham Forest, Brentford, Brighton and Wolverhampton Wanderers earlier this season. All lamentable defeats for various reasons, and of course we've spoken about those defeats at length, but this one felt a little bit different in the fact that City were just several levels above Liverpool when it really mattered, and that will be the biggest indictment on what has been a terrible season for the Reds standards, you have to say. Top four now looks very difficult for the Reds. It was something that's been described as a season defining week, of course. City today, Chelsea at Stamford Bridge on Tuesday night, and Arsenal a week from now at Anfield. But this was a pretty appalling way to start that run, and now you have to say Liverpool facing up to the prospect of a season outside of the Champions League. And you know, that's something that happened to Arsenal a few years ago and they haven't quite managed to get back in there, so it's something that is not necessarily a given that you're going to get straight back in there after one particularly poor season. So lots of work to be done for Liverpool on the pitch and off the pitch. And Klopp spoke in his Friday press conference about the need for the club to spend this summer, and he said this club will definitely spend. And it's quite jarring for Klopp to speak about transfers in very black and white terms. You normally someone who shies away from that kind of speculation, that kind of talk, always prefers to talk about what he can do on the pitch with regards to, or rather than what he can do off the pitch with a bit of a checkbook and a transfer spree, if you like. But it's something that is undoubtedly needed for Liverpool now this summer. It's a midfield that is in drastic need of a rebuild, and it's something that's been talked about over and over again this season. But days like today just highlight how far Liverpool have fallen from the elite in the Premier League. It's finished here at the Etihad. Manchester City 4, Liverpool 1.
The Post Game Podcast on the Blood Red Channel.
Yeah, the obvious, I would say, the obvious what everybody could see, the first half was okay. Not only about the result, but because of the performance as well. Of course, City was had more possession and these kind of things, but that always happens when we play here. And that's, we scored a wonderful goal, could have scored a second one in a really good counter-attack. Then I would say this situation was rather unlucky when Kevin De Bruyne gets a touch on that ball and rolls through Robbo's legs, and from there, they did, of course, City is doing then really well. So 1-1, that's okay, that's a basis. And you come out of half time, and there's this open ball in midfield, and we don't even have a challenge, and they pass the ball to the outside, and we are too deep in the last line, and from there again, City is doing well. So you have to defend City in the moments where you have the opportunity to do so. If you are there too deep, too passive, whatever, then they use that immediately. That's a 2-1, 3-1, super quick after. How I remember it, and I have to watch it back, obviously. We have a 3-4, we won situation against Czech, but in the end, nobody has a challenge, and the ball arrives in the box again. They can finish and have to take the rebound. But and then you saw what happened. We were not there anymore. We were completely open. We were too passive, too deep, too far away from everything. We had, if you look at the game, I think we had around about 4 performances. We were okay. The two midfielders with Hendo and Fab worked a lot, tried to close gaps. Cody, especially in possession, and Ali, of course. So. And then that's obviously very difficult. If you want to get something from here, then you have to play 11 players. 14, 15 players have to be on top of their game. And that was not the case again. So after being 3-1 down, it didn't. It's anyway difficult to come back here, but it's you can. But I think, we had a situation for the 3-2 maybe when Robbo, broke through on the left side. But then, apart from that, City could pretty much do what they wanted because the spaces were too big. And so we are rather lucky that they only scored one more. And that's it now.
Can you explain why your team started the second half like that?
No. Cannot. You don't know 100% if the team started like this or a player started like that or whatever. I have no clue why we didn't have the challenge there when the ball is open and it's not, no foul, nothing, but just no challenge. Really difficult to understand. But because then the reaction is that there when you let them there on the ball and they can cut inside and pass the ball and use their speed and the formation, all of that, then it's not about your mental stuff anymore, and you just try to sort the things you can sort. It was not possible there. No, it's opposite. It is. I don't think it is really to explain, but yeah, we all saw what we saw.
Jürgen, they looked incredibly dejected when they came off your players. How do you lift them then? Because you've got to try and start with something, haven't you?
Yeah, but we have to do that tomorrow. I told now the boys that there's nothing from my side to say for tonight. Everything is obvious. Everybody needs to think himself about it. And then tomorrow we have to talk about it. But that was nothing for now. Yeah, it's not a lot of time, but it's time. We don't play tomorrow. We play on Tuesday. We should play better and especially more consistent. So being good while you're feeling good is okay. But not being good when you don't feel 100% is obviously not possible in the Premier League. So, and that's what happens in a moment. We spoke about it on the press conference yesterday. Being 1-0 down this year changed pretty much everything for us. And I don't like to mention these things, but I cannot ignore it as well. It's not that I think, if we are 1-0 down, that means I think already we are 1-0 down. But again, today we concede 2 quick goals. And again, I say, then it's super difficult here, if not nearly impossible, to come back from a 2-goal deficit. But it is kind of, we can make it a bit more difficult for them if you stick to the things you did in your good moments, and that was not there anymore. And that's why then the difference was so massive. Wow. So nice to be part of the team and the crowd starts, which is past. It's not nice, but... it still happens from time to time.
You sound really flat as well. How do you lift yourself?
Oh, we don't have to worry about me. It's I watch things, analyze things, and then I go again. It's my emotions are never my problem. They are in moments on the sideline my problem, but not after a game. So I know what I have to do, but I have to make sure that it arrives in the right places.
Did you hope, Jürgen, for a bit more from the substitutes? You made those four substitutes and then you proceeded very quickly on.
Yeah, it was super difficult coming on in a game like this. I would be now, we are in a situation altogether. I don't want to take them out of the situation, but it's now, I don't think they were the problem now today. So, yeah, they didn't change the game, that's true. But that's it.
Were your players justified in surrounding the referee for the Rodri when he didn't get the second yellow card? I mean, maybe you thought it was a red card offence?
I didn't see it good enough. I realised that the situation, but yeah, could have got a second yellow, yes, probably. He will not get it now. and yeah, I'm not sure we would have won today against 10 men, to be honest, but yeah.
Thank you, everyone.
Yeah.
The Post Game Podcast on the Blood Red Channel.
Real sobering experience watching the second half of Liverpool at Manchester City today in the Premier League, in which Liverpool were so far second best, it was almost embarrassing at times. Liverpool couldn't apply any pressure on the ball. They were by far the inferior of the team they were playing against, and it was really, really painful. I mean, I can't judge Liverpool in the fact of against Manchester City as two teams at the moment, because there's a vast difference. Manchester City are obviously a far better team than Liverpool. I've mentioned that Liverpool have displayed all the qualities of a very average team this year. And it was always the case that Liverpool could get beaten by Manchester City today. But again, like so many performances for Liverpool this season, the manner of the defeat and the manner in which they were so submissive to Manchester City in the second half. I mean, that for me is the most worrying aspect for where Liverpool are at the moment, is that Liverpool have had a drop-off. There's no question about that. But this is a side who, over the last half a decade, have so often been the dominant force in matches, been able to exert their style of play, their game plan on the opposition, have the territory within the football match, which makes them the dominant side. And Liverpool are not even able to do that against average teams anymore. But coming up against Manchester City, and especially in that second half, the way in which they were not able to get up to the ball, the way they had no organisational plan that was anywhere close to working in being able to retrieve the ball from Manchester City or cause Manchester City any problems whatsoever, just shows to me the absolute levels that Liverpool have sunk to when you believe that, you know, Liverpool over the last few years have never been Manchester City in terms of being able to control and dominate City when the two teams have played. City have always largely been the side who have had the majority of the possession in nearly every game. But what Liverpool have been able to do is they've been able to enforce their principles, their style of play, their philosophy on Manchester City and damage Manchester City in so many times when the two teams have come across each other. And that's obviously been reflected in how close the title races have been and the fact that the two teams have been fighting it out for basically all the honours in the last few years. And to watch them today, they looked a team who were in that second half who were directionless, had a non-coherent plan that had been put together from the coaching staff in order to try and fight their way back into the game. And Manchester City, on the other hand, had a problem to solve in the first half, were able to solve the problem with the positions of the players to be able to manoeuvre around Liverpool and regain dominance. And listen, Guardiola for me is the greatest manager who's ever been involved in the game, the greatest manager of elite players certainly, and the greatest tactician I think that's ever walked the planet. But people can talk about Jürgen Klopp's personality, his force of character, all of these great qualities that no doubt he's had over the last few years, but there is no question in my mind that he's been an elite tactical manager in his own right. Now, it may be with tactical philosophy and formation that's had less variety than, say, a Guardiola,
But you're talking about the absolute elite of elite and the best tactician who's ever stepped foot in football. Klopp's implementation of his preferred formation and his preferred style of play has been nothing short of sensational for Liverpool. And to watch this side play with no identity, no belief, and not have the quality in and out of possession to first of all win the ball back, but then have the dominance or the technical quality, the combinations, the coherence between the players to be able to actually do anything with the ball when they had it. It just resembled a mid-ranking Premier League team, which for me is what Liverpool are. The numbers reflect that. I've said that for a number of months within this season. And the display today against the one of the two best teams in the league and the best coach teams in the league just reflected that again to me. And it didn't begin too badly for Liverpool. Liverpool set up in a shape in which they used against Manchester City in the previous fixture at Anfield, which worked successfully for them. Essentially a 4-4-2, sitting in what you would probably call a mid-block, allowing Manchester City's centre-halves to have the ball. The two central players condensed the space in front of Rodri to not allow that first phase build-up, cut off the passing channels, so Salah and Cody Gakpo in this particular game would cut off that circulation into them deeper players in Manchester City's midfield build-up. And Liverpool had some success. They were able to largely stop Manchester City getting into that rhythm of play where they could find pockets of space. I mean, don't get me wrong, we know how Manchester City play. They pin the back four of the opposition by keeping five players basically on the highest line of the pitch, or maybe just having two sort of half players in them, half spaces, but essentially it's a five against four what they try and develop in there to look at having players beyond the ball, which then having such a good technical player like Rodri and maybe one over dropping into that deeper area when they're in possession allows them to be able to get out and find these players who've then created an overload on the back line of the opposition. Liverpool largely stopped that. I mean, don't get me wrong, Manchester City still got in moments and then were able to switch the ball very quickly into especially Riyad Mahrez, who was very dangerous in that first half, 1v1, when he's got you isolated. But you know you're going to come up against that against Manchester City. They're a very good side. Liverpool were able to cause their own kind of problems in on the counter-attack. They actually didn't do too badly in regaining balls and then going pretty direct into the front players. Obviously, Salah's an option there on the highest line, which was the main course of attacking threat for Liverpool. And on occasions, they were even able to break out of that initial build-up in their own phase when they're trying to play out from the back, which they've struggled with against Manchester City in recent outings. But sometimes they were able to get into that midfield section and actually get into some really good positions where a final pass had let them down, or the last action had let them down when they got into Manchester City's deeper area. So it was promising in the first half. It wasn't, you know, a one-sided game in which you would say that Liverpool looked far inferior. Obviously, they had a lot less possession, but that essentially, and a lot of that was by design in where Liverpool sat on the field of play and what they were trying to engineer in allowing City to have it in deeper areas, and then when they got it, springing into direct counter-attacks. So that was okay. But then fast forward to the second half, and terrible start for Liverpool. And this has been one of the key features for Liverpool, really, even going back to the equaliser in the first half. When Liverpool are in games, they are unable to manage the opposition, not creating big chances which will allow them to score. I mean, when you think about how good Liverpool's goalkeeper has been this season and where Liverpool would be without him, and you take into account the amount of big chances that Liverpool have given up for him to be needed or be called into action so often, it shows there's a systemic problem in how Liverpool are able. It doesn't matter if they're playing 4-4-2, 4-3-3, whether they're pressing higher, whether they're sitting in a mid-block. They simply cannot apply enough organisational pressure on the ball to not allow the opposition to get out. And listen, Manchester City are the absolute best. And they created opportunities in which the ball was switched to the wide player and then Liverpool were in all kinds of problems. But it was too easy to be able to do so. Liverpool's players weren't compact enough. The unit of the team weren't compact enough. One player wasn't pressing the ball. One player wasn't offering cover and the other balance. you've got to work in tandem, in not just in one unity of team, but with the unit being a collective, to not allow Manchester City to get out so freely. And eventually Liverpool go from a position where they've got a lead in a game, and then all of a sudden find themselves in a situation where they just claw back too easily. And this has been the case throughout the season. I mean, we're talking about Manchester City, who are the best, you know, being able to, technical footballers to be able to play through the line, switch play, etc. But it doesn't matter what style of play is enforced against Liverpool, whether it's direct, whether it's from set plays, whether it's playing through, they succumb at key moments in the game all the time. They were unable to react offensively to the challenges that they face in games and able to solve problems. I mean, you look at Manchester City today, they had a problem to solve within that first half and solved the problem of not being able to play through deeper areas by bringing John Stones into the middle of the pitch, having another player in that deeper build-up, which gave Liverpool a different problem in terms of the organisation in which they were set up with, being able to solve problems, staying in games, and then coming out on the right side of the results. Liverpool can't solve problems within games. They can't stay in games well enough because they concede goals or concede opportunities at key moments, and then the game's taken away from them. I think that was the ninth time this season that Liverpool have conceded three goals in a game. It's nowhere near good enough. And we can talk about individuals all day, and again, there were some poor performances today. But in general, this is a collective malaise. I've mentioned before that when you factor in the individual drop-offs of players, but also we can't overlook this, there is organisation and coaching problems throughout Liverpool's side, and this will not be fixed overnight. This won't be come to a situation in the summer where everything gets solved by Liverpool bringing in a few players. Listen, some individuals will help that, but when you've been on such a positive uprising through a manager, Jürgen Klopp, a positive trajectory, there's great belief, there's great confidence in the methods, this will have taken a huge blow out of some of them Liverpool players' belief. And I'm talking about the Liverpool players who you want for the long term, the elite players that they still have within the side, because there's no question, from an individual point of view, it's been nowhere near good enough. But the coaching performance of the coaching staff and the manager this season has also been nowhere near good enough. And this has culminated today in a second half in which we have watched an absolutely abject Liverpool performance. And the biggest barometer in that second half of how far Liverpool have fallen compared to their direct rival over the last 5 years. Painful again.
You've been listening to the Post Game Podcast on the Blood Red Channel.